Good morning, and welcome to the Spirit of Grace, where God's Word and message are brought to you by Grace Lutheran Church in New Albany, Indiana.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." Jesus replied, "Go tell that fox that I will drive out demons and heal people today, tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. As it is, I must continue today, tomorrow, and the next day. For surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered together your children as a hen gathers together her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Now look, your house is left to you desolate. And I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the gospel of our Lord.
Hear the heart of heaven beating. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And the heart of mercy breathing. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Hear the heart of angels sing. Glory to the newborn King, and the sounding joy repeating, Jesus saves. See the humblest hearts adore Him, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And the wisest bow before Him, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Freedom's calling, chains are falling, hope is dawning, right and true. Day is breaking, night is quaking, God is making all things new. Freedom's calling, chains are falling, hope is dawning, right and true. Day is breaking, night is quaking, God is making all things new. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. He will live our sorrow sharing. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. He will die our burden bearing. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. It is done. We'll shout the cross. Christ has paid.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, through our Lord and our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, last month in February, I had a birthday coming up, and I realized that it was time for me to renew my driver's license. And as most of you are aware, if you have any intention ever to fly a domestic airline after 2020, you have to have that new federal driver's license. That means it's got to have a star up at the top border. To get that, you have to bring all kinds of documentation into the BMV. Well, you got to have a couple of different utility bills to prove your address, and you have to bring in either your passport or your birth certificate. And if you're married, you probably got to bring in a marriage license too, ladies, because you've changed your name at least one time, and never know, you might be a terrorist. So At any rate, I decided I'm not taking any chances. I took my birth certificate and my passport along with the other things, and I went into the license branch. And when it was my turn, the lady called me up there, and she said, "Oh, you see, you brought both of them." I said, "Yeah." So she picked up the passport to go and write down some information, and she stopped and she said, "Huh, you're going to be glad you brought in your birth certificate." And I said, "Why is that?" And she said, "Well, your passport expired last August." I said, "Really? I'm glad to find that out, because this coming August, I'm off for a week to Canada. Now, I'm pretty sure I can get into Canada without it. But you can't get back in the U.S. of A. if you don't have your passport. They will not let you in. You have to have proof of your citizenship." "Yeah, well, see this document? That's my new passport. And this says right here that Bruce Robert Kishnick is a citizen of the U.S. of A. So I got to make sure I take this with me so I have it when I come back." You got to have that, because it establishes the fact and the reality of my citizenship. It's a document that says I belong. And if you don't have it, you're an alien. Keep that in mind. St. Paul says in our epistle lesson today that he says in verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven. That's something that we need to keep in mind. In another place, Paul said, we are aliens and sojourners in this world. We're in the world, but we're not of it. We are aliens in this place, and it really ought to show in our life and in our living. And so, I'm going to tell you right away, we don't always fit in here. Some of you will remember we had a member here, I think 4 or 5 years before, unfortunately, he passed away. His name was Prince Kaluba. Remember Prince? He was a very dark fellow from Liberia in West Africa. And he was a Lutheran there, and he fled because of political violence, and he had come to America, and so he showed up here in church. I remember when we saw his name, Prince Kaluba. On Tuesday, Pastor Woods and Karen and I were arguing about the fact, well, is that his name or his title? We thought maybe we had royalty amongst us. So when he was here the next Sunday, I said, "Prince, is that your name or your title?" He laughed. He said, "I am not royalty." So that was just his name. But we were helping him get established here and get his green card. And so he had an appointment over in Louisville one day, and I gave him a ride. And It was just before Thanksgiving in November. I'll never forget, we were driving over the Kennedy Bridge, and Prince said, "Pastor, may I ask you a question?" And I said, "Well, sure, what do you want to know?" "When it snows, does it snow all at once or a little at a time?" I had to think for a minute, what's he asking me? And then I realized he had heard somebody talking about a 6-inch snowfall. He had never experienced snow in his life. He had no idea. And he was afraid that 6 inches would suddenly go, plam. Imagine, 6-inch snowfall, just fall on your head. And I guess he thought, if that's the way it is, I want to make sure I stay indoors when there's a forecast. And I laughed a little bit, and I said, no, Prince. It comes down a little at a time. I said, not to worry, you know. But see, Prince was from a different culture, a different place. He was from an equatorial country. He had no idea. He didn't fit in. Now, you know, a couple of years later, he had a big winter coat, and he knew all about snow by then. He was a veteran by then. But he didn't just fit in right away. And that's the way it is when you're part of a different culture. St. Paul says, you and I, as the people of God, we don't always fit into the world around us. And that's a good thing. Hey, Jeremiah didn't fit into his place, did he? Jeremiah comes and says what God has given him to say. Said, if you don't turn away from the sin in this country, it's going to fall to pieces. And then what they want to do? They wanted to kill him. They said, we don't want to hear that. We're just going to kill you, and then we won't have to hear that anymore. How about Jesus? Jesus didn't fit in. The Pharisee said to him, you need to go to a different place. Herod's coming to kill you. Now, why would anybody want to kill Jesus of Nazareth? For what cause? He spoke God's word as though he had written it. He did good things, healed people, drove out demons. He did miracles of various kinds. And yet, for all of his trouble, Herod wanted to kill him. And sometimes, folks, we don't fit into this world either. And that's by design. Because our citizenship is not here. Our citizenship is in heaven. St. Paul warns. He says, look, he said, many are enemies of the cross of Christ. And he describes how that's true. He says their destination is destruction. People who don't have God in their life, more so, people who don't think they need God in their life now, there's going to be a day when God is going to give them exactly what they're asking for. There will be a day when they will spend eternity without God. That's what they wanted all their life long, and finally God says, I'm sorry, but I'm going to give you what you asked for. And they're going to spend eternity without God, and folks, none of us knows what that's like, and none of us wants to know. He talks about, he says, their God is their stomach. Now, he's not just talking about gluttony there, okay? Although that certainly can be part of it. But what he's talking about is materialism. The whole idea that life is all about accumulating things. Getting bigger houses, more cars, having fancier vacation, having better clothes, having this, having that. All these things that people in our culture in particular think they have to accumulate in order to be happy. All the shiny things that the world holds up before them says, you can't be happy unless you have this Lexus or this BMW or the whatever, okay? And what happens to all that stuff? It eventually turns to dust. That stuff ends up being somebody else's stuff because you can't take any of it with you. And so Paul says, they make their God their stomach. They accumulate these things, they use everything up, but in the end, they have nothing to show for it. It doesn't last. And then he says, their glory is their shame. They are proud of things that are shameful. Last 3-4 weeks, if you were in New Orleans, it was Mardi Gras time. And people come from all over the country, indeed come from all over the world to celebrate Mardi Gras, which originally was a religious festival, but they come in order to glory in their shame. But not just there. You can go to Las Vegas anytime and glory in your shame there. Or you can go to the infield when they run the ponies in a few weeks, right over here in good old Louisville. I have not been there. I haven't been in the infield, but I've heard the stories. Or you can go to the 500, and then infield gets wild too. And then we have gay pride parades, and we have, you know, they glory in their shame. The less godly they are, the happier they seem to be. And St. Paul says, folks, we don't fit into that. Sometimes just changing channels on the television, I find myself uncomfortable and offended by what I hear or see right there in that moment. And that's one of those times where you realize, I don't fit here. My citizenship is not here. My citizenship is in heaven. We take the long view, see? The world is for today. Get as much stuff today as I can. Get as much stuff in my world today. Experience as much as I can today because eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, see? But that's not us. We take the long view. We're waiting for something that's going to come, but it's not here yet. We trust in that Word of God. And because we trust in that Word of God, we trust its power, we trust its effectiveness, and we trust its everlasting nature. God says, my Word will last forever. And so you realize when you and I read these scriptures like Jeremiah, those scriptures were written near 3,000 years ago. But they still speak to you and me today the same way they did when Jeremiah wrote them down. And if the world stands here another 1,000 years, whoever reads those words 1,000 years from now will hear the same word of God that God gave to start with. It lasts forever. And so he says, we eagerly await his coming. Every day, when I take a meal, I do like most of you. I say, come, Lord Jesus. And I mean it. That's my prayer every day. Come, Lord Jesus. The sooner he comes, the better. The happier I will be. It means I'll never have to go to another funeral. They'll be obsolete. I'll never have to make another hospital call. They'll be obsolete. You won't need your eyeglasses, your hearing aids, your false teeth. You won't have missing appendages. You won't have eyes that fail you. Those things will all be obsolete. So the sooner he comes, the better. But until he comes, we eagerly await that day, because you and I, as people of God, have no fear in that day. The world's going to be nothing but fear, but not so for the children of God. And we expect a transformation. See, in 1 John, St. John writes these words. He says, it has not yet been made clear what we will be, but we know that when Jesus appears, we shall be like him, for we will see him face to face. We're going to be transformed. We're not going to be old and decrepit people. Won't have to wear any slings, Joe. Those things are going to be gone. We're going to be transformed into a body like Jesus had, a perfect body that lasts forever. That's our goal. That's the promise. That's the word that comes. And that's why our citizenship is not here. It's in heaven. We have these promises now and not yet. We are saved, but our salvation will be completed when we stand before the throne. We have life now, and we have the promise of life everlasting. So we have things now, but not yet. We're still waiting. We're still watching. And because we take that long view, we're different than the world around us. And so he ends this whole epistle, and he says, then brothers, sisters, stand firm. How many of you know how sumo wrestling works? Aside the fact that you got to eat about 8,000 calories a day to get to that. Sumo wrestling, they make a circle, and then two big behemoth guys get in the circle all oiled up and sweaty, and they get in there with just a diaper on, and then the whole idea is you got to push one out of the circle. It's a pretty simple game, right? You know what makes a good sumo wrestler, aside from 600, 700 pounds? The guys that are best at sumo wrestling are the guys who are immovable. The guys who have a low center of gravity, who when they get set, that other guy pushes on them and pushes on them, and they don't even take a step back. They just stay in their spot. And this other guy keeps trying to push him and push him, and finally that guy gets winded. And when he's finally winded, the big dude just goes, and he pushes him out of the circle, and he wins. He is a great champion because he is immovable. He stands his ground. Well, St. Paul says, you and I as the people of God should be sumo Christians. Doesn't mean you should go out and overeat. It means you stand your ground. You stand firm in what you've learned, in that gospel that's been given, the good news of Christ. And when, even though the world around you holds up shiny things and says, you can't be successful or happy without this thing, you go, no, that's not true happiness. Or when the world says, ah, you Christians, you're intolerant, you should smile and say, darn tootin', I am intolerant. Not intolerant of people. We love people of all races, creeds, and customs. But we hate sin. And the Bible says we're to be intolerant of sin. So where there's sin, we can't tolerate sin. Yeah, we are intolerant in that regard. But we love all people. So when the world pushes, you stand your ground. When the world beckons, you stand your ground. You hold on to what you've been taught. You hold on to what you have. And you are reminded that you are a citizen, not of this world, but a citizen of heaven. Now, I've got my new passport here. This is proof of my citizenship. What's the proof of your citizenship in heaven? It's right there. It's that baptismal font. Last night, a little guy named Nicholas Emmett Heppner was baptized at that font. And the moment he was baptized, he became a citizen of heaven. And his baptismal waters are proof of that. That's your proof that you belong to a higher place. And on my passport, right behind my lovely face, by the way, they don't let you smile anymore. They want ornery people only, I guess. But right behind my face, there's the Star-Spangled Banner. That's recognized anywhere in the world that you're an American because there's a symbol of who you are. What is our symbol of us as citizens of heaven? It's right up there behind me. It's a cross. You can find hundreds of them around this place. You probably got one hanging around your neck right now. I see one right there. That is the symbol of our citizenship. That's recognized around the world too. And so we hold that cross with pride and we hang on to our baptism because it is the proof that we don't belong here. We belong in heaven. Many of you knew Erna McIntyre. She was a little German lady. She was born in Germany, was a citizen of Germany. After World War II, right after the war, she met a GI named McIntyre from the U.S. of A., New Albany, Indiana. And she fell in love with him and wanted to marry him. And Erna told me on several different occasions how that worked. The day before she was to board a ship to come to America, she had to go into a German government office and she had to sign a document in which she relinquished her German citizenship. Think about that. She gave up her citizenship in Germany, but she was not yet a citizen of America. That was going to be 6 years down the road. So that means that when she got on that ship and headed for America, she was a citizen of no place. She was a woman without a country, literally. When she landed on the shores of America, she was given a visa. You know what that visa said? Right at the top. Enemy alien. She lived in America 2 years as an enemy alien. After 2 years, things had normalized. It was changed then to resident alien. She was an alien. She didn't belong here yet. She had to take the classes. She had to go take the test. And then she said, and then one day in Denver, Colorado, I went into a courtroom and I stood before a judge. And I took the oath of citizenship. I raised my right hand and I said that I would never, never give allegiance to anybody but the Constitution of the United States. And she became a citizen, had a passport just like this one that said American citizen. And she was so proud of that because this was something new. This was the place where she and her husband were going to live. And she wanted to be part of that American dream. See, you and I, we were baptized and we became citizens of heaven. And the symbol of that is the cross that reminds us always that there was a tremendous price paid for that citizenship. And now, yeah, we don't fit. We can't acknowledge everything that the world does and we can't participate in it all. And we take the long view that there's going to be a day when Jesus is going to call us home. And we're going to be in our own country. And until then, we stand firm. We hang on to our citizenship with pride, knowing that someday we're going to be where we belong with God in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Holy Lord, Almighty God, we live in a culture and in a world that often is at odds with your word and your will. We do not fit here. You have called us to a different path and made us citizens of heaven by the waters of our baptisms. Lord, we pray that you'd strengthen our faith, that you would enliven us by your Spirit, and that you would help us to walk in the way of Jesus. We wait in eager expectation of his glorious coming. So come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. Lord, in your mercy, Lord of the nations, we pray that you would protect and encircle our military personnel with your help and with your care, that they may serve and safeguard our nation. For them and their families, grant them your care. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, all of these folks we bring up before you now, asking for your blessing and seeking it always in the name of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who himself has taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for listening this morning. We hope you have enjoyed this morning's message. If you have a desire to know more about our ministry at Grace Lutheran Church, or if you just want to comment about our radio program, we would love to hear from you. You can call us at 812-944-1267. You may also visit us on Facebook or at our website at glcna.org. We're located at 1787 Clinner Lane in New Albany, Indiana. We hope to hear from you soon. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you in His grace now and always.